Well, you'll have noticed in the earlier readings, and I've mentioned this a number of times already today, and obviously leading up today, that there's a recurring theme, this theme of glory, God's glory, Christ's glory, glorifying. And I think you can tell I'm really excited about this theme and how I'm hoping it will become a really important part of our services, in fact, all of our ministry for the forthcoming year. You'll recall I mentioned 2 weeks ago that my hope is that every passage of God's word that's read to commence our services in 2023 will have this focus as well. And the idea is that it focuses us on doing this very thing, giving God the glory. Is there anything more important for us to do? Can I leave that question in your hearts this morning? Is there anything more important than for us to give God glory? It's by no accident that the shorter Westminster Catechism says, and many of you will be able to quote this, I know Peter Day could in his sleep, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I think they're marvelous words. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Meditate on those words. Some of you may be thinking, isn't this something that we as a church ought to be about anyway? The glory of God? Well, of course, the obvious answer is yes, it is. However, when this becomes the focus of what we pray and how we pray, of how we worship, of how we conduct ourselves, is when it becomes the focus of how we relate to others, and of how we approach our varying circumstances, etc., 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 it means that glorifying Christ has the place of prominence it's meant to have. You heard me use those two words before, in the meaningful and in the mundane things, in other words, across every part of life. When glorifying Christ is the posture, the intent, the attitude, and the objective that we bring to everything we do, not least these gatherings on a Sunday, it means that glorifying Christ has the place of prominence it's meant to have. We can only imagine what that can, or what it could do, or what this might do for the life and heart of this church if every one of us in this church took this on board. If every one of us decided this morning, and obviously that's my hope, that we might do this, that the glory of God was the most important thing for us to do from this moment forward and all that we do, imagine what that would do for the heart of our church. It is in keeping with, and you'll recognize these words, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It is taking every thought captive and holding it obedient to Christ. It is, let all that is within me praise his holy name. Isn't that a great passage of Scripture? It is knowing that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. It is placing the person of Jesus and his glory front and center. Is there anything more important for us to do? So we've already read and heard a number of passages this morning that speak of the glory of Christ, that speak of the glory of God. However, in these concluding minutes of our service today, I've got one more passage that hasn't been read yet deliberately that I want to put before you and encourage you with. And I want us to see in these verses that I'm going to give you this morning what they teach us about the posture and the intent and the attitude and the objective of Christ glorifying. And there they are on the screen for us already. I've taken these words from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. This is obviously Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. And I love these words. With this in mind, I'm going to talk about that statement in a moment, with this in mind. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing statement that is. Paul, Silas, and Timothy's praying. We get that from the pronoun we. Did you notice that at the beginning of the prayer there? Paul, Silas, and Timothy's praying encourages us to be praying constantly that we are made worthy of God's calling, and that by his power he brings to fruition our every desire for goodness and our every deed prompted by faith. And because Paul is the master at asking and answering the why question, if we're asked, he's saying, why are you praying that way, Paul? It's in the statement. The answer to the why question is so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. Did we notice that? So it seems to me that glorifying Christ is the main aim of our praying and is the main aim of our desires, the main aim in all that we do. That's our deeds. And therefore the main means by which all things church are measured by. Do we understand that? So if ever we want to know how we're doing as a church, we simply ask ourselves, are we glorifying God on that area? It's the most basic framework, but the most important. Are we glorifying God in the area of prayer? Are we glorifying God in mission? Are we glorifying God in our pastoral care? Come with me to a few other verses, then I'm going to cycle back quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Sorry, guys, this isn't working. Just flick to the next slide for me. So Paul confirms just what I've been talking about there with the verses that are going to come up on the screen for us. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Paul's speaking here. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, so he's covering all the bases there, isn't he? In other words, doesn't matter what you do, you do it all for the glory of God. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I don't know about you, but that makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Peter the Apostle affirms the same thinking as well in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. He says this, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Are we getting the idea? So it's clear in Scripture, at least it is to me, that the main aim of all that we do, everything we do, is to what? Give God the glory. Glorify God. Glorify Jesus. Come back with me to 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to very shortly dig into the text very quickly for you. But firstly, I hope we noticed at the beginning of verse 11 that Paul said, with this in mind. Remember that? With this in mind. So to have more of an appreciation for what verses 11 and 12 mean for us, we have to know what Paul meant before verse 11. when he says, with this in mind. So the question is, with what in mind? With what in mind that leads to glorifying Christ? Look in your Bibles there, and I do hope you have your Bibles. Look back at verses 2 to 10. If you look at verses 2 to 10 in your Bibles, that's what Paul's talking about when he says, with this in mind. To save you doing the work, I've done it for you. And this is a little summary of what's going on in those verses, but run your eye down there. You'll see in those verses 2 to 10 that Paul talks about your growing faith, your perseverance, your increasing love, our suffering and our trials, the care of God. And then he goes into three further things that are noted there that will happen when Jesus comes again. Three things there. You'll notice the first of the three things in verse 8. Those who don't obey the gospel are going to be shut out from his glory. So that's serious. That's why mission's so important. Those who don't obey the gospel will be shut out from God's glory. And the second is in verse 10. On the day he comes, he will be glorified in his holy people. You notice that there? And not only that, the third thing is, in the second part of verse 10, and I love this, note these words. He, Jesus, will be marveled at among all those who have believed. Marveled at. I've given you a wee study for the week before when I said go home and study the word glory, but there's another study for you to do. Go home this afternoon and look up what the word marveled means in the original Greek. Marveled at among all those who believed. That's a summary of verses 2 to 10, and that includes you. So that's the goal. That's the end game, the great prize, the great blessing for believers. And so when Paul says, with this in mind, that's what he's talking about, those things I've just mentioned. So with that in mind, pray that God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. Marvelous. I hope we're getting this. So in having an emphasis on glorifying Christ, what we're saying this morning, if we get it, we're saying, we hear your prayer, Paul. We hear your prayer. And we say, amen, Paul. And we say, we'll do it too. Just like you were encouraging the church at Thessalonica, Paul, Fairfield Baptist Church for 2023, we'll do it. I got to tell you, these verses mean something so special for us as we head into this year. And I'm hoping that we can see them together in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of what they intend for us. So what do I hope that we can see from these verses for Fairfield Baptist Church? What do I hope that we can see? That glorifying Christ on its own provides any and all motivation we need to come together to worship, to come together to pray, to care for one another, to worship and to witness. That's what I'm hoping we'll see, that we need no other motivation than those things. That the glory of God on its own, the opportunity to glorify Jesus together, is all the excuse and reason and motivation that we need to come together to worship and to pray and to care for one another. That glorifying Christ is what we're consumed by and preoccupied with. That it is at the center of every desire and the motivation behind every deed. Now you might say, Ross, I want this. You might be sitting here this morning and saying to yourself, within yourself, and perhaps even to God this morning, boy, I want that, Ross. I so want my life to be flooded with the desire to glorify God, but I seem to be full of anything and everything else. I just can't do it. Maybe that's you this morning. You might say you recognize the things you think and the things you do are getting in the way of being full of glorifying Jesus. And you can't seem to break free of that. Maybe that's you this morning. One of my favorite all-time writers, and you've heard me quote him a number of times, is A.W. Tozer. And he gives an awesome illustration with the very thinking that I'm bringing before you just now. He talks about an old-fashioned light bulb, and it was made in such a way that at the end of the light bulb, there was a little projection on it. And when that was pumped empty, it became a vacuum. The light bulb became a vacuum. And as a kid, A.W. Tozer would take a pair of pliers to that projection on the bottom of the bulb and snap it off. And when you snap off that little projection, there's like a popping sound. Its air goes rushing back into the bulb. That's what happens. Like a popping sound. Now this is the point he makes. He makes the point that you didn't have to get inside the bulb and ask the air to come in. You with me? All you needed to do is remove the obstruction and the bulb would fill. You see that? Remove the obstruction and the bulb would fill. The air just went in because there was a need for the air to go in, because it was a vacuum created for the air. Some of us have an obstruction that needs removing so we can be full of the Holy Spirit and full of the desire to glorify God. And just maybe your life is like that bulb, and that projection or that obstacle needs snapping off so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the desire to glorify God with your whole life. Are we hearing the word of God this morning? We need to be full of the desire to glorify God, to live lives that glorify God. It's as simple as that. So that when you pray, God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus might be glorified in you and you in him. What do I hope we can see from these verses? That we resolve as a church to make glorifying Christ the main feature of who we are and what we do in our private lives and in our public lives. Not that those two are mutually exclusive. That we resolve to make glorifying Christ the main feature of what we pray and of how we pray, of how we worship, of how we serve, of how we conduct ourselves, of how we relate to each other and others, and how we approach our varying circumstances. That we resolve that the glory of God would be the thing that runs within our spiritual veins, that it be the language of our lips and the action of our hearts. That's what can happen when we are full, like that bulb, of the glory of God. What a marvelous thing that would be. There's lots of ways that I could illustrate for you what the place and the prominence of glorifying Christ can mean for you. But let me try and just give you just one. Imagine the scenario that where you've chosen to read the Word of God for 20 minutes a day for 365 days of the year. There's a little hint there. Little encouragement for you. Imagine that scenario. 20 minutes a day for 365 days of the year because you resolve today to glorify Jesus in your commitment to God's word. Imagine that. And on Monday you read, that's tomorrow, Psalm 1, which says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. So you read that on Monday. Then you get up early on Tuesday morning, having made your commitment the day before on Monday, and about a dozen things start to fill your mind for the day ahead. You check emails, the phone rings, someone needs you. It's not super urgent, but the thought enters your mind that you've got to make all those things a priority because all of a sudden you are depended upon. And you become quickly convinced that all of those matters are a greater priority than time with God and His Word. Until you remember what you read the day before. Until you remember what you read the day before and the commitment that you made. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's what a desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith does. A person who's seeking to live their life full of the glory of God is what I've just described. So hungry for God. When we're hungry for God, we're hungry for His Word. When we're hungry for God, we're hungry for fellowship. When we're hungry for God, we're hunger for prayer, and so on and so forth. That's what a resolve to making glorifying Christ the main feature of our day looks like. Did you know that glorifying Christ pushes back the gates of hell that prevail? So when we read in Scripture that when Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, same thing here. When our lives are full of the glory of God, it pushes back the gates of hell because we are full of the Lord. Doesn't mean we're less vulnerable to attack. Don't hear me wrong here. But we are strong in the Lord, planted by streams of water. Glorifying Christ defeats the temptation to put far less priorities above the greatest priority of all, which is Jesus. Now, I said that I was only going to give you one example. Here's just a few very quick, briefer examples of what a resolve to glorify Christ might look like, and we're just about there. You might email someone tomorrow and you might say, Peter, be Christ glorifying so that you might be built up in your faith. That's just a very brief example of something that you might do, very practical. You might have a tough phone call to make, but you might say before the Lord, Lord, help me to glorify your name in the way I've got to speak to this person. When I ring and talk to Prometa about a very tough eldership issue, Lord, help me to be Christ glorifying in the way I talk to Prometa about this matter. I'm devastated by these circumstances. However, Lord, may Christ be glorified in me and in others through this whole situation. Folks, what are we hearing this morning? I'm praying our hearts are awakened by the Holy Spirit and that we see that God's word shows that our ultimate purpose is to glorify God. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19, verse 1. And all this will end with Christ being glorified. History and the future exist for the praise of His glory. You read that in Ephesians chapter 1. So here's my final request. Can you just put up the very last slide, please, guys, with that same passage on it? The very last slide in my PowerPoint, or before that. Keep going. Just bear with us, folks. Can we together make the glory of God, glorifying Christ, a feature of all we do? I've made a slight change to the wording of the passage, and it's up there on the screen for us now. And I'm hoping that to conclude our service today, it's been a great service, and we've worshipped in song, and we've worshipped in prayer, and we've commissioned our mission and ministry to the Lord. And I hope that we've resolved together that the glory of God will be something that we desire to fill us like that bulb, snap off the projection so we can be full of the glory of God. And so I'm hoping that we can pray this together before the Lord today. And so I'm inviting you, as we conclude our service now, if, and hear my heart carefully, if this is not something that you want to commit to, don't pray this prayer. Only pray this prayer if you're resolving with me right now that glorifying God is what you want from this day forward to be the main feature of your life. Yeah, we'll slip up, but we'll make small setbacks for great gains. So if you're saying with me today that you want to join with me and make glorifying God your resolve for 2023 and every year forward, let's pray this prayer together. Here we go. We pray that God may make us worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition our every desire for goodness and our every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in us and us in him, according to the grace of our Lord, grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know you've just prayed a very powerful prayer? A very powerful prayer. We've resolved something quite serious before the Lord this morning, which is why I made the comment I did before we prayed. And I want to encourage you to go home and think about what you've just prayed. Be praying about this theme, the glory of God, during the week, and what glorifying God means for you in the meaningful and the mundane things. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you that you've moved among us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, and you've spoken to us by your Spirit. My final words of prayer would simply be this, Lord, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, go with us now into the rest of the day and indeed the week ahead. Watch over us, Lord, protect us, continue to heal those, Lord, who have illness and sickness in their bodies. But Lord, watch over us, grow us, multiply us, Lord, all for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I know we've taken